chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. A little small book nestled in the Minor Prophets. One of those hard to find books back toward the back of the Old Testament. And matter of fact, I almost chose this text this morning just to help us get familiar with finding it in our Bible. Book of Nahum, a great book. Nahum chapter 1, we'll begin reading there in just a moment. Last week we preached last Sunday morning on Here Comes Trouble. Look out, here comes trouble. And we took a different angle about trouble. We talked about those that Elijah was accused of being a troublemaker, but he was not a troublemaker, but he was accused of it. Paul was accused of being a troublemaker because they stood for truth, and we talked a little bit about that last week. And so we warned you last week, look out, here comes trouble. That was the title last Sunday morning. Well, the title this morning is Trouble Is Here. Trouble is here. By the way, good to have Brother Duncan here in the service here this morning. Appreciate him being here. Don't know how those two go together, but good to have Brother Duncan back and back for pecan season. We've been missing them. It's good to have Brother Duncan back in the service this morning. But trouble is here. We said last week, here comes trouble. Well, today's trouble is here. And we'll look at that this morning. Nahum chapter 1. If you would please, let's stand together. If you're able to do so, I reverence the Word of God. Nahum chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. And notice verse 2 down through the next few verses. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and he will reserve wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and he will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Verse 2 to verse 5 is talking about the great and the mighty power of God. Verse 6, who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Again, talking about the majesty and the might and the power of God. Notice verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Last week we preached on Here Comes Trouble. Today, trouble is here. And by the way, thank you, Leroy and Angel, for that great song. What a great testimony that song is, and your testimony as well. He is a strong tower, and I'm glad we can run into him and be safe, and I'm glad we can find help in trouble, in times of trouble. And that's what we'll look at this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd add your reading, your blessing to this reading and preaching of thy word. Lord, convict where conviction is needed. Lord, comfort where comfort is needed. Lord, instruct where instruction is needed. And Lord, all of us face trouble. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand where the trouble comes from, what it's meant for, and Lord, what we can do in the midst of trouble. And Lord, so many different needs and troubles and burdens are represented here this morning. And so Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God, as only the Holy Spirit can, will take these words and Lord, apply it to every heart and every life, and may each of us be responsive to it. Lord, give us the courage to allow you to do in us what you need to do so that you can do through us what you desire to do. Blessing the time together this morning, may you be exalted and lifted up and magnified is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Look out, here comes trouble. We talked about that last week, and sure enough, trouble is here. We just mentioned that trouble might be coming, and sure enough, Brother Duncan shows up the very next Sunday. And you never know what trouble is around the corner or what's around the bend, but trouble is going to come. I want to look this morning that trouble is here. Trouble's here. Now, don't you know, first of all, number one, where does trouble come from? What's the cause of our trouble? If we're going to talk about trouble, what cause? That's the first thing we'll know about. Where's the trouble come from? Where's our problems come from? I want to give you three reasons very quickly this morning that is the cause of our trouble. Number one, our trouble is caused, number one, when we're conceived in the flesh. We're conceived in the flesh. Say, preacher, What I need for trouble to come my way, all you need for trouble to come your way is to simply be born. That's all you need. Here's what Job said in Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job chapter 14 verse 1. Man that is born of a woman, that's all of us by the way, is of a few days and full of trouble. Life is full of trouble. What causes our problems, preacher? Well, just the fact that you and I were born, that started them. Problems have been taking place ever since. And so if you're conceived in the flesh, and we all are, then trouble is going to come. And sometimes we look around and maybe we look for a reason and look to pinpoint. I want to tell you, trouble is part of life. As the sparks fly upward, troubles come. The Bible says again, man that is born of a woman is born a few days. And boy, isn't that true? Doesn't life pass by so very, very, very quickly? It is difficult for young people to understand that. But I want to tell you, the older you get, you've heard it said, the faster it goes. And man, it just seems like it goes by just like that. And I saw something yesterday where someone had passed away in the sports world, and they were talking about he was born in 1984 and talking about how young he was. And I thought, I was getting out of high school in 1984. That seemed like forever ago. Man, the days go by so very, very fast. And so we see that trouble comes. The first cause of trouble is that we're simply conceived in the flesh. You understand that we were born with a sin nature. Nobody had to teach you how to lie, how to cheat, how to steal, how to be angry, how to pitch a fit. You can go back in the nursery and they know how to pitch a fit. Matter of fact, you come out here and sometimes people know how to pitch a fit. We didn't have to be taught that. We know how to. We're conceived in the flesh, in the sinful flesh. So number one, the first cause of our sinful nature is that we're conceived in the flesh. Number two, the second cause of our sinful nature, our trouble, is that we're consumed with the flesh. Not only are we conceived in the flesh, but we're also consumed with the flesh. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The revenues or the paycheck or the dividends, if you will, of the wicked man is trouble. We not only have trouble because we're conceived in the flesh, we have trouble oftentimes because we're consumed with the flesh. We're not just born into sin, but can I say to you, we're born into sin and we kind of like it. We kind of enjoy it. Our flesh, our old Adamic nature likes sin. It enjoys it. So we're conceived in the flesh, and because we're conceived in the flesh, oftentimes we're consumed with the flesh. Three things about that very quickly. Notice, first of all, we're consumed with greed. Listen to what the Bible said in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. Joshua's addressing the children of Israel. They've just won the big battle over Jericho, and what a great battle that was. Notice what he says in Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Joshua said, look, if you get greedy after all that God has given you, you're going to bring trouble to the house of Israel. Greed brings a lot of trouble. Notice Joshua chapter 7, the very next chapter, Joshua chapter 7. And verse 25, you know what took place? Achan took of the accursed thing. The Bible tells us about that. Joshua 7, verse 25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And Israel and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. And after they had stoned him with stones. You understand that greed is a great deal of trouble. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27. Now pay attention to this verse. Proverbs 15 verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. I want to tell you, Achan had a problem with greed and covetousness. Eve started with a problem of greed and covetousness, and it has just escalated to today. It's even worse today than it was then. I think about Achan's sin. Achan came out of Egypt, then spent time in the wilderness, and they went from bondage. Then they went to the wilderness where God provided everything they needed. Then God put them in the land flowing with milk and honey. He literally went from rags to riches in a short period of time, had everything that God offered him, and yet Achan still got greedy. He said, preacher, if I could just get this and this and this, then I wouldn't want anything else. You're the biggest liar in the building. Because we always want more. And a person, the Bible says, Proverbs 15, verse 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own household. Let me just get real practical for just a minute. Men, let me get down to earth. Let me say to you, you can bring a lot of trouble to your household by that thing you think you need. Well, preacher, if we had a camper, we could go camping all the time. We could do something with our family, and it'd be have a good time. We'd save money on vacation. Be careful about what you're willing to sacrifice to get for your family. I'm not against a camper. I'm not against having a boat. I'm not against any of those things. I'm just simply saying that a lot of men have lost their families because they took a second and a third job to get this that they thought they needed and this that they thought they wanted and this that they thought they had to have, and they lost their family because they were greedy, and a man that is greedy of gain troubleth his own household. Not the neighbors, not the people down the street. He troubles his own household. I want to tell you, a lot of our trouble in the flesh comes not only because we're conceived in the flesh, but we're consumed with the flesh. And a man that is greedy of gain, who always has to have more and more and more and better, will bring trouble to his household every single time. He didn't say a man that is greedy of gain may bring trouble to his household. He said he troubleth his own household. We're consumed with the flesh. That brings trouble. Greed brings trouble. Not only that, does greed bring trouble? But sometimes just the grind brings trouble. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choking the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Again, he goes back to the idea of being greedy and having to have more and having to have better. And having to have the latest gadget and the latest this or that. I don't tell you, greed will bring trouble in the flesh. It will trouble our household. So there's greed. Then there's a grind. Notice what the Bible said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. When Martha was coming about with much servant and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her that she come help me. Now here's Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Here's what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He didn't say you're troubled about this thing. He said you're troubled about many things. You know, may I say to you that a lot of times our trouble is the fact that we're consumed with the flesh because of the grind of daily life. Can I say too, you got a lot on your plate. You got kids at home, you got a lot on your plate. You have a 15-year-old that's about to start driving in your house, you better spend a lot of time in prayer. You got a lot on your plate. You have teenagers in the house. I want to tell you, Brother Mike, I want to tell you, I don't know what you're going to have to do, but when those three boys all get teenagers, son, I hate to tell you this, they're going to eat you out of house and home. They're going to devour everything that's in sight. There's trouble everywhere you go. You might have to send Uncle Jerry's about every other weekend just so he can feed him a little bit, give you a little bit of break every once in a while. I'm telling you, listen, trouble's going to come. The grind of daily life. Man, there's bills, and then there's a job, and then there's more bills, there's a second job, then there's more bills, and there's a car that won't run, and there's a house that's got a leak in it. And then it's just one thing, and there's medical bills, there's everything. It's just the grind of life, and sometimes we become so consumed about the grind of life. That's the reason we sung the song this morning, Living by Faith. That's what we talked this morning at the very beginning of the message about casting our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Can I say to you, it ought not be a light thing that we come in here and the first thing we do, we bow in prayer, and I give you time to pray. Can I say to you, don't take that time lightly. That is our time to come and offer before God and say, God, we need help. Now, if you don't feel like you need help, you let me know, and I'll guarantee you there's somebody in the pew beside you, in front of you, or back of you that will be glad to share some of their burdens with you if you don't need any help. But the truth matters, we all need it. I want to tell you, sometimes the grind of life will trouble us. He said, you are troubled about many things. And then he goes on in the next verse. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. And take heed to yourselves. This is Jesus speaking. It says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day may come upon you unawares. And I'm interested in that too, in the word overcharged. And the phrase, the cares of this life. Where does trouble come from? Well, trouble comes because we're conceived in the flesh. Sometimes trouble comes because we're consumed with the flesh. We're consumed by our greed, and we're consumed by the grind of life. I don't mean to take away from the busyness of our day and the burdens that we carry, and I certainly don't make light of that. But can I say to you, the problem is not that we have burdens. The problem is that we try to carry our burdens. Jesus said, bring me all your burdens. Cast upon me all of your care, for he careth for you. Casting some of your care upon him, it'll help you. Casting a little bit of your problems will lighten your load. That's not what he said. He said casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So what brings trouble? We're conceived in the flesh. We're consumed with the flesh. We're consumed by greed. We're consumed by the grind. Then I want you to notice one other thing. We're consumed oftentimes by a grudge that brings trouble. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what causes us trouble in life is a grudge against somebody else. He said, let any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Sometimes we're troubled in life because of greed. We've got to have more. We've got to have bigger. We've got to have better. We've got to have the latest. And everything on TV, everything is new and improved. Can you please tell me how many times you can improve a Kleenex box? I mean, it holds Kleenexes. I mean, what? But we got new. Everything's new and improved. It's better. It's the latest. If you have a cell phone that's over 6 months old, it's out of date already. You probably can't even get parts for it anymore. Everything's new and improved, and we're consumed with greed. We're consumed oftentimes with the grind of life. Sometimes we get consumed with a grudge. Well, they didn't do me right. And they did me wrong. They mistreated me. They said something about me. They did something and said that I did something. And I didn't say that, or I didn't do that, or I didn't mean that. I'll tell you, we can get easy consumed with a grudge. I'll tell you, a grudge will trouble you. Speaking with the Sunday school class this morning about that very idea, how sad it is, and I do more than my share of funerals, to say the least. And I can't tell you how many I do where families won't speak to one another. Family members won't even be there. So we were talking about Wednesday night. I was talking to someone, one of the most odd circumstances I've ever had was I don't remember the name of the road. There's a road that goes off of North Carolina Road, right there, the curve of that road, a little dirt road. I don't remember the name of that road. Some of you Worth County rednecks may know that road. Can't remember the name of it right off now, but there's a road going off of Cantiline Road, right in the bend of that road. Had a funeral service one day, I don't know, about 4 or 5 miles down that road, up under some shade trees for a family. The reason we had the service there was because there was a rift between them and the other part of the family. And the other part of the family would not allow, as a matter of fact, they had the police out there to make sure they could not come to the funeral. So while my dad was holding one funeral on the other side of town, I was holding a funeral on the other side of town at the same time. You know why? Because family. I want to tell you, that's a sad day. I want to tell you, it happens more than you could ever imagine. It's not a grudge. And maybe that grudge has troubled you, and maybe it may trouble you and the generation to follow you. Can I say to you, I'm going to move on. I promise I am, and I promise I was going to be short this morning because I was long-winded last week. I promise I'm going to be short. Can I say to you, how selfish is it of you to have such a grudge that your kids and grandkids cannot even enjoy their family? That is selfish. That's all it is. That's all I can say about it. I'm talking about a grudge. I'm talking about a grudge. Well, we don't come from the same place. We have different this or different that. I don't tell you, it doesn't matter what it is. You ought to be able to get along one with another, and a grudge, will trouble your household. So what's the cause of troubles? Number one, we're conceived in the flesh. That starts our trouble. Then number two, we're consumed with the flesh. That continues our trouble. But don't you notice number three, the third cause of trouble is sometimes to get control of the flesh. So preacher, what do you mean? You see, trouble comes, number one, because we're conceived in the flesh. Number two, because we're consumed with the flesh. But sometimes to get control of the flesh. So, preacher, how could that happen? Look at, or don't turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Listen to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, there's a phrase that Paul repeats twice in that verse, and it's this phrase, lest I be exalted above measure. He uses that at the beginning of the verse. He uses it again at the end of the verse. And then he says in the middle of the verse, he said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Now, why? Now, it's interesting. He says as a messenger of Satan, but he said that God gave him a thorn in the flesh. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure in the beginning of the verse and in the end of the verse. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, some trouble comes to me so that I don't let my flesh get in the way of living my life for Christ like I ought to live. Can I say to you that some trouble comes to us just because we're born to it? Some trouble comes to us because we're consumed with the flesh. But some trouble comes, God allows that trouble to help us keep control of the flesh. Listen to what the scripture says again in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went to the temple of the Lord his God to burn upon the altar of incense. He said, when his heart was strong, he was lifted up to his destruction. May I say to you that when God sometimes allows problems and troubles to keep us humble so that our heart will not be lifted up. Again, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was lifted up, and therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 26, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent to inquire into the wonder what was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Can I say to you, sometimes God allows problems, God allows troubles in our life to keep our flesh in check. Paul said, this thorn in the flesh, God gave it to me lest I be lifted up. He said about Hezekiah, his heart was lifted up, but when God troubled him, all of a sudden he humbled his heart. And the Bible said that God allowed that so that he could keep his heart and that God would know his heart. May I say to you, sometimes trouble comes to control the flesh. There may be a problem in your life you're dealing with, and you say, preacher, this morning I've checked my heart, and it's not greed, and it's not a grudge, and it's not the grind of life. And preacher, I've checked my heart, I've checked my life, and I can't find any sin. There's nothing in my heart and life that's in between me and God. God is, and preacher, as God knows, God being my witness, God knows my heart. There's nothing that's causing this. You say, preacher, why am I having this trouble? Can I say to you, it may be that God allows that trouble so that we will keep control of the flesh. Did you know, every one of us have problems with pride. And God knows exactly what it will take to knock the pride out of us. There may be something in your life, if God didn't keep you humble in this area or that area, man, you'd be the most arrogant, contemptible person on the face of the earth. You know what God does? God allows something in your life to keep you humble. By the way, God knows what it takes. And sometimes you preach, this trouble, there's no reason for it. I didn't cause it. I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with the trouble. I didn't bring it on. But God just keeps allowing this trouble to come to me. Lord, why does this trouble come? It may be that trouble is keeping you from something that would bring destruction to your flesh. Don't fight the trouble in your life that God brings. So, number one, there's a cause of trouble. Number two, very quickly, not only is there the cause of trouble, number two, there's the consequences of trouble. There's a cause of trouble. Then number two, there's the consequences of trouble. In Psalm 107, Moses retells Psalm 107 is a psalm written by Moses, and it's telling of what took place in the nation of Israel in Egypt and in the wilderness. And the Bible says five times that God delivered them out of all their trouble. Now, you'll notice in Psalm 107 that when God delivered them, they rebelled against God. and they turned against God. And they went back to their idols. And five times, the Bible says, God delivered them out of all their trouble. Now, where did their trouble come from? Their trouble came because they were consumed with the flesh. That's where their trouble came from. And five times, God delivered them out of their trouble. Now, watch this. Five is a number of grace. Can I say to you that when God delivers us out of trouble, it is nothing but God's grace that delivers us out of trouble. God doesn't have to bail us out. God does not have to be merciful to us. God does not have to be gracious to us. But I'll say to you, the consequences of trouble are great. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 8, 2 Chronicles 29 verse 8, he said, "Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon them, upon Judah and Jerusalem, and hath delivered them to their trouble." God gave them trouble. You know why? Because that was the consequences of them being controlled by the flesh. Where does trouble come from? Well, the cause is we're conceived in the flesh. We're consumed with the flesh. And sometimes trouble comes to help us keep control of the flesh. What's the consequences of trouble? Well, if trouble is brought about because of our sin, the consequence, get this, is more trouble. More trouble. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs that the way of the transgressor is hard. People say, "Well, preacher, it's just so hard to serve the Lord." I don't tell you, that's hogwash. It's not hard to serve God. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. May I say to you, there's always a high price to pay. I spoke with a young man this week. I was impressed by the things he said to me. He began to talk about some issues he was having, some trouble. You're talking about trouble. Man, this poor fellow's got trouble on top of trouble. I mean, trouble is all around him. We spoke, I guess, for at least an hour on the phone the other night. And he told me about this trouble. And when he got through telling me about that trouble, he said, "Now, preacher," he said, "I want you to know I'm not calling you about my trouble." And he described the trouble he just described. We moved on. We talked a few more minutes. We talked about something else. And he talked about another trouble. And then he said this again. He said, "Brother Keith, I'm not calling about that trouble." And he said it three times. He said, "Brother Keith, I want you to know I'm not causing you about my trouble." He said, "I'm calling you because I know the answer and I need help getting back there." And I'll tell you, that helped me. That encouraged me. But it reminded me of this, that the way of the transgressor is hard. Can I say to you, we allow ourselves to be consumed with the flesh, whether it be greed, whether it be a grudge, or whether it be just the grind of life. I want to tell you, there's more trouble around the corner. And if you think you got trouble now, honey, you just wait being consumed by the flesh. You're going to get more trouble. My heart was broken as we hung up the phone. I realized that the majority of his trouble was caused by his own trouble. You see, trouble brings consequences. Notice number three very quickly. Number three, there's a cure. There's a cure for our trouble. Psalm 9, verse 9, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble." Look at our text, Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Now, verse 2 down to verse 6 talks about his might and his power and his anger and his justice. If we allow ourselves to be consumed with the flesh, God will bring trouble our way. But in verse 7, he says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." Some of our trouble is self-induced. Matter of fact, much of our trouble is self-induced. But you know what Nahum said? When our trouble is self-induced, the Lord is good. He didn't say the Lord gets even. He didn't say the Lord is vengeful. He didn't say the Lord is going to pay back. He said the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. So how do I get cured in the day of trouble? How does a cure come? Number one, a cure comes, we'll get there in just a minute. Psalm 27, verse 5. I'm sorry, I got to help myself. Psalm 27, verse 5. He said, "From the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Psalm 37, verse 39. "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." So what's the cure for trouble? The Lord is. The Lord is. Two things about that. Number one, we come to the Lord through prayer. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful, be anxious, be worried, be troubled about nothing. But through prayer, bring everything to God. So we get the cure for our trouble through prayer. Number two, we get through our cure for our trouble through precepts. Psalm 119 and verse 143, David says, Psalm 119, 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Have you ever felt like the trouble just picked you up and body slammed you? That trouble just picked you up. He said, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. They just won't let go. Everywhere I turn, there's trouble. There's a heartache here, and there's a burden there, and there's a problem there, and there's a catastrophe here, and there's a trial there. And everywhere I go, there's trouble, trouble, trouble. David said, trouble has taken hold on me. It just won't let go. Yet he said, but thy commandments are my delight. When trouble comes, I want to tell you, the cure for trouble is prayer and its precepts. Why does trouble come? Trouble comes because you are born. That's why trouble comes. You're conceived in the flesh, therefore trouble comes. Trouble comes because we're consumed with the flesh. Greed is going to bring some trouble. A grudge against a brother or sister in Christ, or maybe a brother or sister in your own family, blood kin. That grudge, I'm going to tell you, is going to bring trouble. Sometimes the grind of life. Being overcharged, that word is an interesting word, being overcharged, being overtaken with the grind of life. I want to tell you, that's the reason it is so important that every day you start your day in this book. Every day you spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word of God, and give your burdens to the Lord every single day. Because I want to tell you, it doesn't take long. As a matter of fact, normally it happens about 9:30, at the latest 10 o'clock in the morning, you and I are overwhelmed. We got a call from the doctor. A bill came in the mail. We got a nasty email from somebody. We got a text that's got a problem to solve. We got a problem at work. And I'm telling you, about 10 o'clock every morning, all of a sudden, we're overwhelmed if we're not careful. And the grind of life causes us trouble. I'm telling you, in your trouble, you take it to the Lord in prayer. In your trouble, you find your refuge inside the Word of God. My commandments are thy commandments are my delight. I'm telling you, in the day, in the midst of your trouble, when your day is going about as bad as it can go, and you say, preacher, I can't stand any more trouble, won't you just find yourself in the Word of God? Angie gave a great testimony a while ago of them losing their child in that song. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. A few years ago, I was reminded last week, some of the teenagers said, preacher, want to go play paintball? I remember first time we took some of our kids to play paintball. Man, I'll tell you, if you've never done that, it's a lot of fun, but it'll wear you out. And I remember one time we was playing paintball with some of the kids, and we got there, and I was almost at the other enemy's fort. I was about ready to grab the flag. I think it was about to be over. And there was somebody shooting at me, and I was shooting back at him. All of a sudden, I heard my gun start firing, but there was nothing coming out. And I realized I was out of ammo. You know what I did? I dovetailed as fast as I ran as hard as I could back to the fort, back where I was safe, back where there was some cover. And I'm going to tell you, it won't take 10 o'clock tomorrow morning on Monday morning when all the fiery darts of the devil go come find at you from every direction. You know what you do? You run to a strong tower, and you're safe in the strong tower. I'm going to tell you, the enemy don't fight fair. The enemy does not fight fair. First time we ever played paintball, Greg Phillips went with us. I was holed up in a fort. I had him right in my sights. He's about 10 feet from me. And man, I had him. I mean, there was no way he could go. About that time, I shot and my gun jammed. And there was nothing I was up in the fort. Now, I'm telling you, your enemies cheat. Are you listening to me? They don't fight fair. There's a gentleman's rule in paintball that if you're within a certain distance, you can say either I'll fire or you give up. You just hold your hands up and say, I'm done. And he came right behind me in that fort. He's probably probably about 2 feet from me. And he says, surrender or, and this is the exact words, he says, surrender or, never mind, boom. hit me right in the back. I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't fight fair. I don't tell you, your enemy don't fight fair. He don't fight fair. So what we do when trouble comes, I want to tell you, we run into a high tower. Number four, what do we do in trouble comes? Number one, the cause of our trouble. Number two, the consequences of our trouble. Number three, the cure of our trouble. Number four, be here tonight at 6:30. The construction from our trouble. The construction from our trouble. Sometimes God allows trouble in our life. And we think, man, the devil's going to take that trouble. He's going to destroy us. I want to tell you, no, that's not what God wants. God allows trouble in your life, and God wants to take that trouble, and he wants to make something out of it. And that's what we're going to look at tonight at 6:30. The construction of our trouble. You say, preacher, trouble's going to come this week. What am I going to do about it? I tell you what you do. You run into a strong tower. You get in prayer. You get in his precepts. That's your cure for trouble. And God will make something out of that trouble. You say, preacher, man, the Lord can't make anything out of that. He made something out of you, didn't he? Made something out of me. I'm going to tell you, God can do some great things. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. Maybe your trouble is self-induced. Maybe your trouble that you've been complaining about and bickering with God about and mad at God about and resentful for God about, it may be that trouble that's kept you or has allowed you to keep control of the flesh. Because if God didn't allow that trouble, can you imagine what kind of spoiled brats we'd be if God didn't allow any trouble in our life? We couldn't even stand each other. We couldn't even stand ourselves. God sometimes allowed trouble to keep control of our flesh. Whatever your trouble is this morning, maybe you need to either take it to the Lord, or maybe if it's a trouble that's allowed by God, maybe you need to thank the Lord for that trouble. Say, pray, thank the Lord for trouble? Yeah, it may be that trouble that God allowed in your life that's not destroyed you already. What do you do when trouble comes? Here comes trouble. Well, trouble's here. And when trouble comes, we run to a strong tower.